Hello, and welcome to Reading the Library Book. This is going to be Chapter 11, and due to popular request, interest, these chapters now have names. So Chapter 11 is The Ballroom. So this chapter is called The Ballroom, and future chapters have been given names, but I haven't named any of the ones that came before. So all of the chapters before, I think chapter 9, still are not necessarily titled. So if you had ideas, you please feel free to send them along. And if you have other ideas about what these chapters should be called or what you would call them, send me those too, because I could change my mind. These are holding titles, temporary titles, or titles for the moment. This one's called The Ballroom, and stay tuned after, because I have some more feedback to share with you. And I think that is all for the moment. Yeah, here's Chapter 11, The Ballroom. The music librarian was standing stock still with a look of horror on her face as the car's engine turned off. "What is it?" I asked her. "That's one of the board members," said Johanna Juditha, "either coming or going." Eamon patted her arm gently. "You have done nothing wrong. As far as they know, you are just on your way home from work with some friends." She looked at him gratefully and nodded. "Why aren't you scared?" she asked Eamon. "How is it that they don't frighten you?" Eamon patted the camel and said, "They have no power over me. I am a free agent. No building required." The front door of the Library of the Eye flew open, and there was the woman who'd told Edna to send me home with Goodnight Moon when I'd first arrived in Akita. The chair was storming out the doors, clicking on her heels with a small man in a rumpled suit hurrying behind her. She looked up and spotted the camel, and a look of distaste crossed her face. Her eyes passed over Eamon and then to Johanna Juditha, and she looked ready to start shouting. She looked so displeased. Then the chair saw me, and she suddenly looked astonished. She waved a man in the rumpled suit toward the car and approached us quickly. Eamon waved at her and called out, "Selim!" But the chair ignored him and came right up to me. "What are you still doing here, child? Didn't Edna find you your book?" "I'm looking for more than one book," I said. "How many could you possibly need?" the chair said as she tapped her bright pink lips. "I'm looking for my whole library."
"Your whole library?"
"Yes, it vanished. I think it might be here."
"So, you've enlisted some help, have you?" she said, looking at Eamon, the camel, and the music librarian over her diamond-studded glasses.
"Sort of," I said. She folded her arms.
"A whole library full of books, you say?"
"Yes," I said, "every last book."
"I think I know where they are," said the chair.
"Your books. Someone dumped a whole mess of them onto my ballroom floor. I'll take you there." I looked at Eamon and Johanna Juditha, who were both standing very still, with no expressions on their faces whatsoever. It was very strange. I'd never seen such a lack of expression. I never realized how faces are constantly expressing things until I saw theirs suddenly not expressing. I looked back to the chair, who was smiling warmly at me.
"Bring your friends along," said the chair. "That creature won't fit in the car, though, so you'll need to leave him."
"Impossible," said Eamon firmly. "I never leave my library."
"Well," she said, "your pet can walk or run or gallop or whatever it does while the people ride in the car."
Eamon grunted. The chair then stared at the music librarian.
"You will, of course,
accompany us to the ballroom, will you not?
Johanna Juditha looked down at her feet, then back up again.
Of course, she said, with as much casualness as she could muster.
Even I could tell that she was a little bit scared.
Let's go then, said the chair. All people in the car, all animals out.
Eamon shook his head and said, I will be walking with the library.
Have it how you like it, she shrugged and gestured for her driver to open the door again.
She got in and then called for Johanna Juditha and I to join her in the back seat, which we did. The man in the rumpled suit got in the passenger seat next to the driver. Once we were in and the doors were closed, she rolled the window down and called to Eamon.
You'll just follow us, won't you?
She rolled the window back up and told her driver to go to the ballroom. He nodded, and the car pulled out of the driveway. The windows were such that it was almost impossible to see out of them. I sat between the chair and the music librarian, who I could feel trembling a little next to me as she gazed out the translucent window. We rode left and right and straight and in some sort of roundabout, and at one point it felt as though the car shuddered and we rolled to a stop. The man in the rumpled suit got out and came around to open the door for the chair, who took his offered hand and gracefully found her way to standing. The music librarian and I crawled over the seats and scrambled to our feet. I expected to get out in front of a big building, but we'd somehow parked inside one. We were in the ballroom, not in front of it. The car was parked right in the middle. There was a giant chandelier hanging over us, and several smaller ones scattered across the room. The lights and jewels hanging down from them hung in a variety of asymmetrical shapes. The large one at the center was perfectly balanced, a series of concentric circles so circular you could draw other circles by it. The floor was made of several different colors of wood, making a rectangular pattern. After looking around, I realized that the floor looked like a giant bookshelf. All the little bits of wood laid out to appear like the spines of books. There were doors on either side, with archways lined with the same wooden book pattern. It was beautiful and vast. The chair clapped her hands and said, I can tell you're impressed. I'm so glad. The ballroom is my pride and joy. I've only just finished getting the last bits of the floor in. I asked her, what kind of dances do you have here?
Dances? Oh, no. Dancers would ruin the floor.
I suddenly realized that there was no Eamon or Camel in sight. Where's Eamon? I asked.
Who? Said the chair.
The wandering librarian and the camel, said Johanna Juditha quietly.
Oh, the wandering librarian. Yes, of course. Yes!
Don't worry. I'm sure they'll catch us up shortly. How will they get in? I asked. And how did we get in?
Aren't you a little worrier? Don't worry, little oyster. We'll satisfy all curiosity soon enough.
But she held out her hand to shush me.
Quiet, she said. Now, I like you, or at least I did, but you are starting to become troublesome.
I was about to object, but then I felt Johanna Juditha's hand on my arm, and I closed my mouth. The chair resumed her tour of the ballroom. She described the crystal in the chandeliers, the varnish on the floors, the light bulbs, everything. We followed her around dutifully, but my heart wasn't in it. I couldn't contain myself anymore, and I finally asked the chair, but where is my library? You said it was here.
Did I? She asked.
I nodded.
Oh, yes, she said, waving her hand. That big stack of untidy books. They're around here somewhere.
But where? I asked.
That way, she said, and waved her hand toward a large door at the end of the room. Go and find them if you like.
I thanked her, and we made our way to the door the chair had indicated. As we passed below the arches, the music librarian looked up and paused for a moment with her eyes fixed on something. Then she hurried us through. I looked back at the chair who was pacing the length of the ballroom with fervor. We passed through the archway into a dark room. We felt our way forward, and as our eyes adjusted, we noticed a frame of light ahead.
Must be a door there, she said,
and we made our way to it. "What were you looking at just now?" I asked as we felt the walls.
"A book," she said. "One that I lost."
"The actual book? Up in the archway?"
"I don't know," said Johanna Juditha. "I just don't know."
Suddenly behind us, we heard the sound of a car door and then an engine starting up.
"Is she leaving us here?" gasped the music librarian,
and we ran quickly back to the door through which we'd come. As we ran, we heard the engine revving and a squeal of the tires before it all got suddenly quiet. By the time we got back to the dance floor, the room was empty. The car was gone. And so was the chair.
"But how did she get out?" I wondered. "And how will Eamon and the camel get in?"
"I don't know, Leandra. I've never seen this ballroom before, unfortunately. I think it's brand new. Let's just look for your library books, and we'll worry about Eamon and the chair once we have your books back." We went back to the dark, dark room, toward the frame of light, feeling our way through until we finally made contact with the door. I found a handle and turned to pull it open. Inside, we found a brightly lit, spacious room which looked oddly familiar. We were about to come in when someone shouted, "Don't shut the door! Whatever you do, don't let that door shut!" Okay, friends. That was chapter 11, The Ballroom. And I have a specific question for you today. When the chair came back, did you remember her? Did she stick with you from the first time that you met her? Were you like, "Oh yeah, that lady"? Or were you like, "Who's that again?" I'm just wondering about your thoughts about the chair. So tell me anything you thought about her when you first met her, and what you thought when she came back. That's mostly what I'm wondering about at the moment. And ways that you can tell me that are on the Google voicemail box, which is 646-847-8758. Or you can send me an email at leandralibrary@gmail.com. Or, you know, any old way you know how to reach out to me, please feel free. I will happily receive any communications via any... You could send me a carrier pigeon. You could send an owl. Okay, not exclusively birds. You don't have to send via birds. You can send any way you like, whatever you got. So the other thing I was going to say before I give you some more lovely feedback from listeners is... if you like the podcast and you would like to help me spread it around, share it with other people, there are a few ways to do that. One, you could just tell people about it. That's great. And, you know, parents and such, if you are on social media, sharing it there is great. I haven't seen this in my experience, but every podcast I listen to says to rate and review and subscribe on iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts. Apparently that helps with algorithmic discovery, etc. So if you're up for that, get into iTunes and give it some stars and a little review if you feel like it. Pass it along. It's not a secret. And the more kind of people we have sending stuff in, the more fun recordings I can give for you here at the end of the podcast. Which reminds me, based on the recordings that I've received, I think I'm going to try and create a new trailer. I don't love the trailer that I created the first time around, so I'm going to make some new ones. And what I'm going to try and do is make it out of the recordings that I received. But maybe you have an idea for a recording of a trailer. That is, what would you say to someone to introduce them to the podcast or get them to listen to it or just, you know, share the book with them? And if you have ideas for a trailer... The trailer is like a little introduction to the podcast. record that for me if you feel like it. And I can either like make a bunch of different trailers based on recordings, or I can smush them all together and make one big one. We'll see if anybody has things that come in. But yeah, please, I am trying to make a better trailer, make a better introduction. So send that along. And now here are my friends from California sharing their responses to chapters, I believe it's 4, 5, and 6. So here are just little tastes of what I received in my inbox.
We just listened to chapter 4. Does anyone want to sing the song?
Sing, 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 sing. Sing, 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 sing.
There we go.
Sing, sing. Wait. So I think the chapter should be like named, like the first one should be a library book chapter 1 or something, then like you name the chapters based on.
What would you name chapter 4?
Akita.
What did you think about this chapter? Did anything make you feel curious?
I really like the name Akita.
Akita, I think is a name of the restaurant in the real world.
I think that's Athena's. Are you thinking of Athena's?
No.
Akita's. Okay.
It sounds like Alaska, weirdly.
Mom, mm-hmm. That's kinda. Food at Oreos.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Taquitos. So did you enjoy meeting these characters?
Yeah.
Who was your favorite new character that we met?
Still the main character.
You still like her the best?
The one that we met out of the two that we met.
Yeah.
The other one, I can't remember her name. Edna.
Edna.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Edna. Just because the chair was kind of like, yeah, I have this to do, so yeah, we can't waste our time. Yeah.
Does that feel like an adult?
Yes.
Yeah. And did Edna feel a little more accessible for some reason?
I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing that is good.
I just wondered why Edna, you liked Edna more, I guess.
And I don't know what accessible means, but I like to put on earrings or something. I can
accessorize. Maybe it wasn't that you liked Edna more, it was just like you just didn't like the chair very much. Because she was kind of a dismissive adult.
And it was kind of funny that Edna was so short.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to cut in here for a moment. So that's them talking about chapter 4, but listening to it again just now, I was thinking about how the Akita, the name, got chosen. And I feel like I may have mentioned this to somewhere before, but maybe not. And that is that Akita became the name after I read this book the first time to my first listener. It used to be called The Central Library, which is not a very exciting name, is it? So what I decided to do is come up with a list of possible names, and they're all names in Sumerian, so I looked up a lot of words in Sumerian and tried to find one that seemed like it would be a good name for a library. So I made a list, and then I shared that list with my friend in Vancouver, and I asked her which was her favorite name of all of the possibilities, and she said Akita. So you can thank my friend in Vancouver for the good name of this library. So I'm so glad that everybody likes it. So now let me go ahead and play for you their responses to chapter 5 and 6.
The first thing Callan said was,
hi.
That's it? Right, at the end of chapter 5?
Yeah.
And what did you say, Tegan?
I said, I really like that guy, Cran, I think his name is, the true librarian. Is that guy who voiced Cran, is he Australian? Because he sounds like Australian.
Well, Emily's doing all the voices, and I think that's either Irish or Scottish.
Yeah, because maybe you have an accent or something.
Yeah, Emily is using all kinds of
stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
Like
Yeah, you like that. That's a really cool song. Okay. Okay, we got to go listen to chapter 6 because we can't end there.
Yeah.
Yay. Bye.
It's kind of like, it was kind of like funny how like Clam got up there and they were like, oh guys, the coast is clear.
Yeah, I also like that she's like, I can usually spot a spy, or she says something like that. Like, who's spying on libraries?
Who?
I don't know. So do you guys think...
I'm not in any way spying on libraries. That doesn't make sense. I just have books.
That's like weird.
Wait, I know what it is. It's like an enchantment book, like a magic book, like spells in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Probably.
We were talking before about if they felt like it was too easy to find the very first book with Edna. Tegan said, well, no, it's a magical library. And I was like, oh, well, yes, of course. Right?
Yeah.
Emily, again, I'm cutting in to tell you one other thing, because this last little comment is a really good example of why it's great to read this to young people and not just go with my first thought, because my friend who's the mom here, Bethany, is asking a question about how easy it was to find the book that opened the passageway. And in fact, when I, in the first draft of this book that I read to my friend in Vancouver, there was a long, long scene where they tried all kinds of different things to find the book, and all kinds of magical passageways opened and blah, blah, blah. And I could tell that my, my listener, my younger listener was not, she was like, like it just, what? And then we talked about it and I asked her about it. I was like, what do you think about all of those different books that she tried? And it was clear, like, oh, we just wanted to get there. So, I think adults like to like try all the different things, but, younger people are ready to just dive in, and they don't necessarily need to jump through all of the hoops that adults think we have to. So, that for me anyway is a great example of why it's really so useful to get, young people's perspective on what's going on here. So thank you for sharing your experiences, everybody. I really appreciate it. And I think this second version is better. And the third will be even better than the second. So thank you for all of your thoughts. I really appreciate it. There's changes happening all the time. I might have to do another read through of the revised draft after this podcast finishes. So you'll hear the changes as we go. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Share, subscribe, do all the things. And I will share chapter 12 with you soon. Also, I'm sharing a little more quickly than I planned, just because I have been on a little retreat and I've had the time to really dive into the book. So I want to be able to share all that stuff with you as soon as I can. So it might not always be, you know, one chapter after another like this, but for now it is. So hooray. And yeah, I'll see you for chapter 12 next time.